We're going to start right away because we're going to need every second. Yeah. But you will have the chance to do whatever you need because some of the time is your own. Hi, I'm Diana Larson, and we're going to get started right on time because you're going to need all the time. We're going to be talking today about how am I doing? How are you doing with your own professional development? How are you doing at staying current in your field? How are you doing at learning the things that you want to learn and learning them in the best possible way, all that kind of stuff. And when I've done this presentation before, we've actually worked through all that for everybody in the room. Unfortunately, with the time pressures here, I have to end at noon, right? Because people are going to want lunch. Yeah. So with the time pressures here, we won't be able to take as much time with each step as I normally would like. But what we will do is go through every step, give you a chance to do a little of it so that you can finish up later on. Okay? So you could try out all the techniques that I'm going to talk about, and then you can try them on your own. So that's how we're going to do this. The best way to make this work is to get in groups of three. So find a couple of other people that you're feeling compatible with. This is not one of those things where you have to go find somebody you don't know, because that's not what you want here. Here you want somebody who maybe knows you a little or is familiar with your field or something like that. And rearrange the chairs. Arrange the chairs so that you can work together in a way that's comfortable for you. These kind of rows of chairs things, I just didn't know. And if we have to have a group of four or a pair, that's fine. But try to get in groups of three. Great. Okay. You may find that you'll need to adjust your seats because as you start having conversations in these triads, you're going to experience a little bit of noise pollution. So as we go on, if you feel like you need to move around so that you can do the work, feel free. I'm all for making it so you can do the work, right? So, okay, does everybody have access to one of these? Either have your own or have one nearby? Okay, because we're going to use some of the sticky notes and stuff out of here. So as long as somebody's got one, we're in good shape.
Until they said, oh, you want one of these? And I'm like, until they show me the sticky
notes. Yeah. The sticky notes. I don't, and I don't think they do out by the desk. But if you you can use just paper, too. It's, yeah, just the sticky notes are kind of handy, and they don't drop out. Okay, so we got everything arranged. We're ready to go. Everybody's here. You've all figured out this isn't going to be like any of the other sessions you've attended here. So a little bit about me. I work for a company called Future Works Consulting. We've been around since 2000, and actually the person that I am my partner in this, I've actually been working with her since 1993, so we've been working together for quite a long time. We have a vision at Future Works Consulting, and that is we see a world where everyone at every level of the organization can say, I love my work. This is the best job ever. And that actually is what drew me into working in the Agile arena, because I saw the potential for that there. Doesn't always reach that potential as we do it right now, But I have seen this in enough organizations that I know it's possible, and that's the focus of my work. I am involved in the Agile community, but just as a means for getting there. Right. I'm the author of 3 books at this point, Agile Retrospectives, another book called Liftoff, which is about the front end of projects, Virtuosity, which I'm doing an experiment with my co-author and I writing it through LeanPub, which is really interesting. If you don't know about LeanPub, I recommend you check it out. And we recently published an article with Jim Shore that's actually on Martin Fowler's website called Agile Fluency. You can get to it through agilefluency.com. It's called Your Team's Path to Agile Fluency, which is about the idea that there are actually a number of ways to get there. And on a volunteer basis, I'm pretty involved in the Agile Alliance. I am so involved in the Agile Alliance that I am now term limited and can't be on the board anymore. So this is my last year on the Agile Alliance board. I'm also involved with a nonprofit organization called Language Hunters, which is about saving endangered languages and learning how to become a polyglot in the easiest possible way. And I'm also very involved in Agile Open Northwest, which I was going to do a pitch for because it's happening next week in Portland. But as it turns out, we're sold out, so tough luck. Okay, so that's me. In this session, we're going to talk about personal retrospectives for developing your craft. So personal means it's going to focus on you and your learning. And we're going to drill into that and really appreciate how you've come this far, what you've done recently. It's going to be a retrospective. So we're going to look back, see what kind of tuning up we can do in order to plan to move forward. How are you going to adapt the way you have been handling your professional development up until now? And we're really going to focus on craft. What skills do you want to learn? What skills have you been working on? What's up next in your queue? How do you decide when there's a bajillion things we could all be learning? Where do we focus? How do we make that choice about focusing? And then what do we do as a first step? So those are the 3 pieces that we're going to be working on in the next 50 minutes or so. So we're going to get started, which is what we're doing now. We're going to take a chance to look back and appreciate. We're going to make sense of that, then look forward and choose the next step, and then we'll have a little bit of wrap-up at the end. First, I want to lay a ground rule. In Norm Kurth's book, he has something he calls the retrospective prime directive, and I've adapted that a little bit for use here. So for each of you, and this is often the very hardest. People have a lot much easier time applying the prime directive to other folks than they do to themselves, right? So regardless of what you discover about your past actions around developing your skills, you understand that you did the best you could. This is not an opportunity to beat yourself up or beat other people up, or, oh my gosh, I could have done more. No, what we know is people are always show up and do their best, including you, but sometimes things get in the way. Sometimes we don't have all the information we need. Sometimes our current skills and abilities, the base that we're working from, aren't really adequate to get us to the next thing we want to do. Sometimes we don't have the resources we need. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes other stuff is going on, distractions. I've been struggling with this myself lately because I feel like I've been kind of coming close to dropping the ball on a few things because I'm right in the middle of selling a house and buying another house and all the stuff that goes with that, and it's enormously distracting. So I'm not able to do what I think is my independent standard of best. But every day I'm doing the best I can that day. So I want you to be able to say this about yourself. You're doing the best you can today,
given all of this, and you have been doing that over the past year, which is what we're going to be looking at. So is there anybody here who cannot subscribe to this for yourself? Okay, good. All right, so I didn't see any hands go up, so I'm assuming we're all going to be here. So let's appreciate this past year. What have you done? And also I would say here, there's always the opportunity to think about the people who've helped you and really give them some appreciation for that help. There's a nice form for that. You say their name. You say, Jim, I appreciate you for inviting me to this conference. I got to learn a lot this morning's keynote, and it's barely been valuable to me.
Thanks.
Right? Simple. Name a person directly to them. Right? So think about doing that. But right now, we're going to appreciate you. We're going to appreciate the things you've done toward working, toward your own craftsmanship over the past year. So, on a piece of paper, make a line. One end of the continuum is January last year. The other end of the continuum is January this year. It is right now where we stand. And on the left end, I'm a little right and left challenged, so I have to do that. On the left end, at the top, above the line, write high points. And below the line, write low points. Then think about the last year in reference to your professional development, how you were developing your craft. What did you do? What kind of on-the-job things were you doing? What kinds of events were you attending? Were you getting mentorship from someone? Did you ask certain questions? It can be anything. Anything that helped you learn or that you hoped would help you learn and maybe didn't quite meet the grade over the past year. Okay, and just make yourself a little graph. Well, in January, I was doing this, and then I had this happen, and then, right? Think yourself through the year, and if you need to put tick marks for months, make it useful to you. And just make a little graph. Where were the high and low points of your year in terms of your own professional development? I'll give you about 2 minutes to work on that. As you go along, you might annotate it. This is the thing I was trying to learn here. This is what I was, you know, this is the event I attended, whatever it might be. Do we have any pairs that need a third member? Somebody willing to form a group of four with another half a minute? Much nicer than that. Okay. So you may not have completed this. Again, I encourage you to think about it in more depth. I mean, 2 minutes isn't very long to spend on establishing a baseline for learning. But however far you got, we're going to move on. So the next piece is to take a look at that. Say, what was going on up here? What was going on down in the low points? What was that? And look for what kinds of patterns were there. What do you see? Really dig into it. Do some analysis of it. So what were the high points? What actually were those? Do they have anything in common? What were the low points? Is there anything in common there? Any surprises? Something you didn't expect to see. Where did you feel challenged? What was hardest? Where were you really having to put a lot of effort in? What was really energizing and exhilarating? Right? When did you see patterns across all of it in general? In general, but maybe a couple of exceptions. What was the nature of those exceptions? I saw this, but on the other hand, I also saw that, right? Those questions actually come from this Human Systems Dynamics Institute as actually pattern recognition questions in human systems. It's a combination here. Those are really good questions to ask in a lot of different situations. What aspect of your craft did you develop the most? Where did you give the least attention? What is about what you would have expected? What doesn't seem to make sense yet? Right? So in your small groups, have a conversation about the patterns you see on your timeline. And we'll just take a couple of minutes on that, so give each person a chance. We'll do 3 minutes, so each person will get a minute to talk about theirs. Okay? Just what did you see in your timeline? And initially, this is going to feel awkward and weird, as does any new thing you try. But doing it makes it easier.
Is that a high point for you?
Make sure everyone gets a chance. Join a group and ask them to catch you up. About half a minute. Again, I know that you don't get very far with these very short time blocks, but just enough to have the experience. And I will say that when you go away from here, you won't be with these same, you won't be in these same groups of three. Particularly in this part, it's useful to have someone else to talk to, even if it's just one other person. Because sometimes other people will see patterns that you don't see. And so to be able to share that and ask somebody else. And oftentimes, the best people are people to ask someone who's very familiar with your work, someone who's totally clueless about what you do, will see different patterns. So now you have a sense of where you've been, what happened, and what the patterns were. So now let's try to make sense of it. Think about one of the things that you were focused on in terms of your own learning. Or think about the thing that you would like to focus on, you think, a target possibility, in the next year. Either way. Right? Write that down in the middle of a page. Whatever that skill is, whatever that learning focus is you want to watch for. And then draw a circle, and write in that circle, who am I with regard to this focus? Am I an aspiring author? Maybe I'm already an author, but I just want to learn more in this area. Do I think of myself as a student, as a beginner? How do you regard yourself? What is your own identity that you have for yourself about this skill? Another circle. Why are you working on it? What do you value about it? What are you going to get from having worked on this skill? Are you going to move from sort of advanced practitioner into a real thought leader? You know, you've got to have the opportunity for that sort of shift. Do you just really need it to do the job you want to do? What is it that you value about this? Will it get you more money? That's an okay answer. I've got promotional possibilities if I do this thing, if I learn this. What is it you value about it? And then, how do you go about learning about this thing? What is your usual mode? Do you learn best by taking classes? Do you learn best by sitting with a mentor? Do you learn best by getting your hands on it? How do you learn? This comes from a book called Simple Rules, A Radical Inquiry into Self, which is a really good book for sort of learning about this. I've adapted these questions a little bit, but it's a really good way of doing some kind of self-coaching. So if you're interested in that. So who am I? If I want to learn more about presenting, if I put that up, the presentation skills as my focus, right? Who am I? Well, I'm a speaker. I'm kind of an experienced speaker, but I think I could learn more. So I wouldn't say I'm, you know, an expert speaker. I've just got good experience. What do I value? Well, I value opportunities to help other people with their learning. I value the chance to share what I know. So there's a number of things in there I might value. I value working with large groups. I really enjoy working with large groups, so that's part of why I want to be a better speaker, right? So how do I learn? Well, I learn best by trying stuff. Maybe doing a little research, finding one thing, and then trying it. That's how I learn best. And then reflecting on how did that go. No big surprise I wrote a book on retrospectives, right? Okay. So if I were working on presentation skills, that's what my clover leaf, I don't know what to call this model, would look like. This Venn diagram. So as I look at that, I wanted to introduce you to the idea of simple rules. How many of you know about simple rules in complex systems? Yeah. I somehow am not surprised that your hand went up. Okay, well, so here's a thought. There was a guy, Craig Reynolds, at MIT, who wrote a computer program that simulates flocking, herding, and schooling behaviors, right? So that any time now that you see on a movie or in any kind of animation, the animation of, you know, in Finding Nemo, A School of Fish, in Jurassic Park, the herd animals, going across the plain or whatever, they probably have referenced his algorithms or some subsequent version of it. And he discovered that in those very complex systems of all, you know, sometimes hundreds, thousands of birds in a flock, say, and he was at MIT, so that's why he called it Boyd's, because he was in Boston, and that's how birds sounds in Boston. Anyway, so he discovered that there are really only three rules that govern that behavior. I mean, why? Have you ever seen starlings? Or we have in Portland, we have a elementary school where the Vaux swifts in September, these certain species of swifts come and nest in this big chimney. And, you know, be hundreds, thousands of birds all flying into this chimney. And they aren't dropping out of the sky. They're, you know, how do they do that? Well, he discovered that really it's only three rules. They only have to follow three rules to make that work. They have to do a rule about cohesion. And the rule is steer toward the average position of the rest of the flock, particularly those that are right around you. They have to pay attention to alignment. So there's a rule around steering toward the average heading of the flock. And they have to not bump into each other. So they have to steer to avoid crowding their flock mates. And if they do those three things, it all works. There's some great videos out there about this. In real life, there's one more rule, which is avoid predators. But they don't need that in computer simulations. So these amazingly complex patterns and behaviors that as long as each member has that kind of simple rule embedded in itself, it all works, right? These are really good to have for your teams. They're good to have in organizations. They are always an operation whenever people are working together, but they may not be the ones you want, so it's worth examining what you have to see what you might want to shift. So, but just as a thought, what simple rules guide you in your learning? What assumptions do you have about how you should proceed? Do I have a simple rule that says learning only happens in rows? No, I don't have that simple rule. Some people do, though. Learning only happens from someone opening my head and pouring in knowledge. Right. What rules would you like to have? What rules will guide the patterns you want to create in the future? So that's what we're going to work on. What rules guide you now about your learning? This is worth spending a little time on, and I don't think we're going to do that right now because it really is a thought experiment you need to do, and it takes some time. And are those serving you? Are those the rules that serve you best in terms of your learning? What are the expectations? What are the simple rules about learning at Microsoft? Do those serve you? Do you want to maybe have some different ones for yourself? Or are they fine? They might be. I don't know. Depends on how you learn and on their hiring practices. So I told you I'm working on this book called Virtuosity, and we looked for simple rules around how do you accelerate learning. Did a lot of scanning and a lot of observation and so on, and we discovered that there are really 5 rules. That if you've got all of these rules going on, probably learning is happening, right? So our 5 rules are serve aliveness to generate energy. People don't learn if they're hungry, tired, depressed, bored. So we have to make sure that that's not what's going on. Pursue fluency to expand capacity. It's better to look to really get very, very good at something very small than try to go, you know, broad brush with learning. You actually learn more faster. Increase signal strength to initiate action. Make sure there are the fewest, we call that signal strength. Make sure there are the fewest numbers of distractions in the environment. Make sure it's that whatever you're trying to learn is sending you the strongest possible signal. I read an article the other day where somebody said, if you want to change a habit, use the 20-second rule. To get rid of a habit, make it take more than 20 seconds to do whatever it is you don't want to do anymore. And if you want to substitute something new, make sure it takes less than 20 seconds to do it. That you'll sort of tend to, I don't know, law of energy conservation or something. So the fourth one is narrow scope. Narrow scope to increase proficiency. Again, that's kind of that focus piece. Sometimes we call that bite-sized pieces. And then design an environment that allows you to do these top 4 things, right? So what just recently happened here that shows me following those rules for learning?
The room change,
exactly. I walked into that room and I said, there's going to be nobody alive in here. It's going to, you know, the signal strength is going to be really low, right? And it's not the right, so it's not the right environment. In that particular instance, fluency and narrow scope weren't as important, but the other two sure were. Right, I needed to set things up differently. Right, so those are simple rules for learning. Those are just, and I'm actually providing those because I think there's some interesting stuff there if you're thinking about your learning, and because those are an example of simple rules. Because what we're going to do next is I'm going to give you a few minutes to write down a few. And if you only get one or two, that's fine. Eventually, you will want a set, which is usually 3 to 5. Simple rules focused on developing your class, your craft. So simple rules are simple and declarative. You'll want to write at least one rule, the reason I say minimum of three, for each of those circles in the Venn diagram. One rule about your identity involving this. One rule about what you value. One rule about how you learn. And then if you want to throw in some extras, that's fine. Start every rule with a verb. Serve, pursue, increase, narrow as a verb, set up, right? Every rule starts with a verb. In the case of Boyd's, every one of those rules starts with the word steer. But that's not always, it doesn't always start with the same verb. Make it positive, what you will do, not what you won't do. And as far as possible, make them generalizable and scalable. They'll work in little instances, they'll work in across instances, right? I could do it for this skill, but I could also do it for that skill, right? You want them to work in a lot of different arenas, right? So just try this out. And I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm just going to give you, 3 minutes. See if you can come up with one simple rule. And tell your group mates about it.
Would you mind reviewing briefly what you said about alive?
Alive?
Aliveness?
Serving aliveness means making sure people learn when they are engaged. So it's like a lot of the emphasis now on gamification and play in learning is about alive. People just learn best when they are engaged, when they are and they're physically ready. So you know, making sure that they're fed and the temperature isn't too hot or too cold, stuff like that. Yeah, just anything that helps people be alive, right? Also relates to, if you've read any of Christopher Alexander, he talks about wholeness. It also relates to that concept as well. Yeah. I think all these slides are available after, right?
Yes, everyone will get a thumb drive with all of the slides.
Yeah, so you'll be able to have these for reference. Yeah.
If you give them.
Yeah, yes. That is my plan.
There are some people who don't.
Yeah. So. Yeah, these I'm fine with doing that. Another half a minute. So I have some friends who have simple rules to their learning, like one I know that works really well, share my story. In other words, this friend of mine, this isn't one of my particular rules, but it is the rule of a friend of mine that says she gets more learning if each time she learns something new, she makes sure that she gets the chance to teach it to somebody else or share it to somebody else with somebody else in some way. That anchors it more for her, right? So that's one example. I'm not going to ask anybody to. The reason I put you in threes is that you only have to share in threes. You don't have to say this to everybody in the room. So now let's move forward. And there's where the sticky notes out of that little book come in. And write down on one per sticky note of any size everything you'd like to learn in 2013, over the next year. What is it you hope to learn? To improve your craftsmanship. This is about that. How much effort do you think each thing will take? I usually use t-shirt sizes here, but, you know. It's good to know. It's like, how much am I going to have to put into this to get it out? I know that there are, for instance, certifications where it's sitting 2 days in a room. And there are other things where in order to get some kind of certificate, you have to put in a longer period of time and do more stuff. So there's a difference in the amount of effort it takes there. So estimate the effort. Once you know how much effort each thing will take, rate each one on how much value you'll get from it. When, if you go back to that Venn diagram about the things you value, where will you get the most of what you value? This is a 3-star thing. I'll get everything I value out of this. This is a 1-star thing. I'll get a couple of things that are important to me, but not everything. So you're looking at effort, you're looking at impact, and then finally, look at enjoyment. This is the alive part. What are you going to enjoy the most? Which would be the most fun to learn? It's important to know that too. And then prioritize them. Which one do you want to tackle first? What will you go after in the next 3 months? Okay. So I'm going to give 4 minutes for this one. Write down the sticky notes, estimate them, rate them, star the ones you enjoy the most, prioritize. This is also a good technique to use with teams when you're doing retrospectives if you want to make the decision about what continuous improvement action you're going to take on. But anyway. What's the first thing you're going to go after this year? Another minute. If everyone in your group is done, want to tell each other what you're thinking about? What's on your list? Why did you pick the star? Yeah. First cut at it. First iteration at everything.
I didn't understand the rating. How?
Yeah.
How should I rate it?
This one.
Yeah.
On if you go back to the Venn diagram, you had that one circle that said, "What do I value?" So it's how much will it get you more of what you value?
Okay, so I.
So will it get you a little bit of what you value? Will it get a lot of what you value? Yeah. 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 Okay. 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 So continue. Share what's the one thing you plan to do. And you know, I was very deliberate. Actually, I'll go back one. I was very deliberate about this. There may be something on your list that you think you would enjoy a lot and that would give you maybe 3 points, you know, three of value, but you couldn't do it in the next 3 months. By including this line, what I'm really doing is encouraging you to get a near-term win, right? Find something that you can learn and feel successful at learning early on, and that will help keep you going through the rest of the year. So that's why that's there. And maybe you want to prioritize something you would enjoy that you could do quickly, right? Sometimes we have different reasons for why we set priorities, but that's what I set up here. So share with your group mates, what's the one thing you think you'll go after in the next 3 months?
Thank you.
Oop. So I encourage you to continue these conversations. In a few minutes, we'll go to lunch, so keep the conversations going. And I want us to end on time, so I have a commitment to you to do that. So I'm going to put the pause button right now, but it's just a pause. You can just hit it again and start the conversations up. So what we've been doing is looking back, appreciating what all you did over the past year, looking at what meaning do you make of that, how do you think about that, and what aspirations does that lead you toward, and then really choosing a direction. And in the Agile world, we've got a lot of folks right now who are focused on software craftsmanship. You know, that in order to, in that article that I referenced earlier, the Your Path to Agile Fluency, one of the things that we say is to get to certain levels where you can say, we really are doing Agile at this level, and where your organization gets certain kinds of feedback, you've got to be able to develop software that with no bugs and that delivers on the cadence that the customer needs it and those kinds of things. And you cannot do that without really exquisite craftsmanship. So depending on where your challenge is, that's you know, this is a way to think about how do I get closer to what I want to be, what I value, and do it in a way that matches how I learn. So questions. Anybody have questions about what we're doing? I did say that some of these things you can apply to your team's retrospectives as well. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
How do I take this further? Is it in your book or is it?
It's not, but the slides will be available to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I haven't done that yet, but.
Okay. But this is like the concept that you have.
Yeah. 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 This is a book I haven't written yet.
Okay.
Although a lot of this will be in the Virtuosity book, which is still in process because we're doing it on LeanPub. A lot of these things would be in that book, Simple Rules. A Radical Inquiry into Self. There's some of that stuff in there. So there are some sources that you can get this. And you'll have access to the slides. Yeah?
Just as a thought-provoking conversation, not just to the devil's advocate. We are here in an agile conference, and this approach looks like plan ahead, decide, look at your retrospective. How about just focusing into what are your core competencies on what you could learn once you are requested.
Yeah.
So moving a step down.
Did I ask you to plan out the whole year?
No.
No. No. I regard this as an iterative approach. That after the 3 months, rather than just pulling the next thing off, I'd go back and say, oh, am I still where I was before? And go through the process again on kind of a quarterly basis. There are other approaches that you could take to this, absolutely. My message here is to develop your skills in a thoughtful way, not just what's available next, without really thinking about does it fit into your broader idea of the direction you want to go.
Build your professional identity, design which skill and expertise you want to excel.
Yeah.
That is, in an agile world, I would expect more like planning your identity, your capabilities, because tomorrow you will be asked things that you were not even aware of.
Absolutely. That's
in
agile. Yeah.
In waterfall planning, yes.
So,
plan.
Yeah. The idea here, and I'm not in an argument with you about this. I think you're right. And in an ideal world, what we will be doing here is developing, by doing it this way a few times, developing the capacity to sort of very quickly say, does this fit where I want, you know, I've got this opportunity, does it fit where I want to go, is it, you know, do I want to pivot for it? that sort of thing. But without kind of that initial thoughtful work, you're unlikely to be able to make that work.
And the counter argument to that is something that I think the Agile community is particularly bad at, is doing tremendously shallow dives into sort of adjacent stuff. There's, you know, if you, I mean, you just have to look at some of the bits and pieces. People will skim it, bring it in, and they may learn nothing past their recession, and they never actually engage with it.
Yeah. Well, or that we talk about cargo cult Agile, where people only learn enough to sort of make it look on the surface the same, but they haven't really looked more deeply at what are the really philosophy and values about why we're doing this. For instance, my statement about I want everyone at every level in every organization to be able to say, I love my work, this is the best job ever. Right? And so that's the thing that is always steering me. Is this going to get me closer to that, right, to that vision? You had a question earlier. Similar to his? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I am always available for questions, and I can be contacted in numerous ways. I actually now am chagrined to say I have 5 Twitter accounts. It's really bad. So I only put 2 up here for you. And you can ask me later if you want. But these are all some of the ways to get in touch with me. And then here are some of the things that I referenced during the presentation, if you want to follow up on those. I don't know why this didn't highlight as a link, but it didn't. Thank you. Thank you for coming, and have a good lunch.